John chapter 16, please. I'd like to read verse 13 and a couple of the words in verse 14. It says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me." I'd like to talk today about God the Holy Spirit, because I do believe that He is arguably the most overlooked divine being of the Trinity. But He's as much God as the Father is and the Son is. And I really, you know, you kind of wonder, maybe a month or so or a month and a half out from conferences, you know, what the Lord's going to give you to speak on. And I was like, I tried three or four different things and things weren't clicking or working. And so I started thinking about this, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when I was doing my study on God the Holy Spirit, I realized that this is what He wanted me to speak about. And it's just a beautiful thought that, and understanding that you just know that you are in communion with God and you're speaking on what He wants you to speak on. And that's wonderful. And I want to talk today about the God the Holy Spirit. And I want to make it really as simple as possible. I don't take compliments too well. I tend to just laugh them off, or not that I don't take them serious, but I'm kind of uncomfortable with that. But I remember about 10 years ago, the greatest compliment that I ever got. Greatest compliment I ever got was I don't remember who it was from, because it was one of the Dempseys and there was like 1,000 of them. So I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of the little ones. Probably all of 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I don't know. It was a little one. And afterwards, she came up to me and said, she goes, "You know what?" She goes, "I understood everything that you said." And that sits up there to me, the number one compliment I've ever received from anybody, from a little kid, be able to say they understood me. And that went a long way, because I realized the gospel is not a complicated thing. I mean, you can start in anywhere you want in the scriptures, but end up at Calvary. We go to Calvary, we know that, but we need to make sure that we do that. And here's what I want to talk about today regarding God, the Holy Spirit. He is, as I said, probably one of the most overlooked of the three deities. He is the Holy, capital H, the Spirit, capital S. He's also called the Holy Ghost. Now, the studies I've done pretty much indicate Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost are interchangeable. Exact same word. And what prompted them to use one over the other, I don't know. I'm not here to discuss. But I'm going to refer to Him as God, the Holy Spirit, because that's what He's referred to the most of in the Scriptures. And what I want to talk about is also found in John chapter 16 that we're in, going up to verse 7, where our Lord said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believed not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more." The Holy Spirit has to be God Himself. Otherwise, He can't be trusted. Because that means that there could be one iota of error in something He does or says. So He has to be God, as much God as the Son and the Father. But yet He plays a totally different role in the life of a believer. But that role is absolutely necessary. And when I was doing this study, I started out studying on God the Father, and I said, after I was done, I said, He is absolutely the most important member of the Trinity. And I did my study on God the Son, and I thought afterwards, He is absolutely the most important member of the Trinity. And I finished my study here on Holy Spirit, and I said, He is absolutely the most important part of the Trinity. Which is unique, because they're all three thusly equally important, and there's no end to how much they give us and how much we know that they give us and the things that we don't know that they give us or do for us. But I was convicted pretty badly not that long ago while doing this study here on the Holy Spirit, because I'm very guilty of even standing up here and saying it on tape, that, you know, it's our job to glorify, to stand up here and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be our end goal, to glorify Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I'm saying that that's not our job. That's nobody's job other than the Holy Spirit's. His job is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means, any godly thought that you have, any godly action that you do, any time even the thought of reading the Scriptures, or even the thought of your precious Savior that loved you enough to give Himself for you, or even the thought of maybe sharing something with your children or your spouse, any thought of godliness whatsoever, brethren, is being put there by the Holy Spirit, by God the Holy Spirit. And think of just on an average day. You may have anywhere from 10 to 10,000 godly thoughts flowing through your mind. Every single one of them is the work of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of them. He doesn't just wave a wand over your mind and then says, I'll come back and get you 5 years later. And you're on. He is working within you. He lives within you. And brethren, that means not only your godliness, but your ungodliness. So I want to talk a little bit about His role, first of all, as the glorifier of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also want to mention, too, how He won't allow sin in your life. He won't allow you to remain comfortable in it. Not that you're not going to sin, but the joy of it, you have to admit the joy of it is kind of gone a little bit once you're saved. But that's all His role, is to shine and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, He is as devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ as God the Father is. And I remember reading something a long time ago. I mean, I'd probably been saved for maybe 2 years. And we're living in Miami. And there was a lot of things I wanted to read. I wanted to read Calvin's Institutes. I wanted to read a lot of Martin Luther. I wanted to read Zwingli. And so I went down to the university library in Miami, and whole religious section nobody's bothering to touch. So I get something from Martin Luther, and I go home and I read it. And he said something in there that I want to share with you, and it was that the Holy Spirit's role is nothing more than a spotlight. And that is, His role is to shine the glory and honor and praise upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the same time, He also shines His spotlight of holiness on your soul. And sin becomes exceedingly sinful. You see and you know everything in your life that doesn't belong there. And those thoughts are put there and shown to you by the Holy Spirit of God. And you think about that. God Himself is working within you, giving you every single thought, every single action. When you go to prayer, you pray in the Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray to the Father. But it's the Spirit. And He even prays with us and for us and on our behalf, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. So He has so many roles, but glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ is His most important role. Because here in the book of John, chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He shall not speak of Himself. He shall glorify Me. He shall not speak of Himself. He shall glorify Me. He shall glorify Me. That was the role of the Holy Spirit. So when we can sit here and talk openly or weep openly about what happened upon Calvary, or the acclamation of seeing the open tomb, those thoughts that we have in our mind and the love that we have for things like that, that's the Holy Spirit, brethren. That's Him living and working in you. And I don't know, I wouldn't want to see a show of hands, because I know I couldn't raise mine, but does anyone remember when the last time they just went to God the Father in prayer and thanked Him for that Holy Spirit that lives within us, that seals us? He's not going to take that away. And the proof is every morning you get up, and you have a desire in your mind, read the scriptures, say a prayer, anything, that's proof. That ought to be proof to you that that Holy Spirit is working and thriving in you. And I'm going to get to here in a minute about quenching the Holy Spirit, because it would make sense what that would do as well. But here's my simple question, or my simple statement, is that which does not glorify Jesus Christ is not of the Holy Spirit. And think about that. That which does not glorify Jesus Christ is not of the Holy Spirit. Take that to the bank. So I want to ask you a question. And it's it's rhetorical, I guess. I'm not really looking for an answer. But think, do you personally find it glorifying to God with people running up and down an aisle, waving their hands, shaking their head, speaking some sort of gibberish, all in the name of Jesus Christ, while the evangelist is up there hitting people on the head and they're falling down, and in the background you have a full band and an organ playing, or you go to one of these services that have the 16-band, rock band there praising Jesus, altar calls, all of this, do you think that is glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Because if you're answering no, then it's not of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that make sense? And you can apply that to anything that you believe, anything that you see. But beloved, thank the Lord if you see it, because there are a lot of people that find absolutely nothing wrong with them, and they are much better people morally than you or I. But remember, God looketh upon the heart. We look on the outward appearance, what 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but God looketh upon the heart. That's why it's hard to say to somebody, this band that you're listening to over here at your church, that's wrong. That's not glorifying to the Lord. You can't talk to them because they've been blinded by the God of this world. And at first, I still get frustrated at times, but when the Lord first saved me, I was really frustrated. Really frustrated. Because I just thought, I'd just go in and whip some truth out in front of them and they're going to be on their knees. Well, it didn't work, I started getting pushback but I knew what I believed. And I know now even more, and what I think the most about this study is I realize if it doesn't glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, then it doesn't have the Holy Spirit in it. He's not a part of it at all. There's a Spirit there, but it's not the Holy, capital H, capital S, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So we use that as a barometer. And you can do that with anything in your life, because I don't need to explain to you what it means to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I spoke about it the other day. But you can decide for yourself. But remember, He's not in it if it doesn't glorify the Jesus Christ. When you have things like this, or you see things like this, you need to run from it, because it will ruin your soul. Because there are people that think, okay, yeah, they're just worshiping in their own manner. And then you become a part of it, and you begin to slowly accept it, and then you begin to accept error. I mean, you'll start slipping up if you don't run from anything that doesn't glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Any speaker, including in Maranatha or anything else on TV or radio or anything, if their words are not glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is not in it. And there's a lot of people that like to get up and do nothing but tell quaint stories and explain to you, now you need to repent and be baptized and you'll be saved and all of this. And there's no glorification at all in it. So why be a part of it? Why even subject yourself to it? Because it'll ruin your life. It'll ruin your soul if you don't. We are given a consciousness of sin. And it was said, don't ever let hands lift the consciousness of the sin of your sin off of your life. Don't let hands lift it off of your life unless if those hands have nail prints in them. To me, what that means is if I know I'm not living as I should, or I know that I need to change some things in my life, I don't need to be getting reassurance
from family and friends that, oh, you're just human. You know what? The Holy Spirit is sent here, you know, not just to guide you, direct you, teach you, educate you, comfort you. He's also here to sting you with that sting of sin and then offer you no balm that the world, nothing that the world can offer you. The only healing that you can have is through the Scriptures. And it's a beautiful relationship that we develop with God the Spirit through that. But don't let somebody else convince you that you're saved. And you know what I'm talking about. You don't need that. If you have something in your life, especially that doesn't belong, don't try to share it with somebody to make yourself feel better. Let the hands that were pierced on your behalf run to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how you do that? You do that through your best friend. The only friend you've ever had, and that is the Holy Spirit. And I know I said God the Father is not our friend, but the Holy Spirit is, because He comforts you. He guides you. Every bit of knowledge that you have, not only that, but every bit of difference between truth and error that you understand is because of the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, I admit He uses men. He has to. That Ethiopian eunuch in Acts, he said it best. He goes, how can I understand the book of Isaiah if someone doesn't show me? A man doesn't show me. So He definitely uses men. But realize, it's nothing but a mouthpiece. It's nothing but a mouthpiece. And if anything anyone says hits home with you or registers with you or makes a mark in your soul, it's because of the Holy Spirit's love for you. Not because the person standing up here is so wise and smart that they're able to say something. But the person standing up here should be able to talk to a 5-year-old. Because it's that simple, brethren. We're the ones that make it complicated. There's nothing complicated at all about understanding. If it doesn't glorify Jesus Christ, it's not of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing hard to understand about that. So know it. Believe it. Because I swear to you it's true. And you know it is. And that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to glorify our Savior. And I need to move on or I'm never going to get done. You know, there are multiple of ministries in the world today. Thousands of religions. And, you know, I get sick and tired, even in my own family, if I speak out against it. I'm told not to judge others. You know, don't judge others. Like we have a this little thing that we use on the telephone. It's really cool. It's a little, I don't know what you call it, but you can actually record a message and then send it to everyone that's on that group. So we have one just for our family. And we'll record something and send it out. And I have a nephew who's pretty wayward. And he was taping one of his friends. And it was a black guy with his hat on sideways and chain and everything. And he's filming him. And the guy starts cursing. And so my nephew real quick turns off the thing. Because he's like, oh my gosh. And he comes back on and he goes, oh, he doesn't know that we don't curse. You know, and then he turns the camera towards this guy. And he has on a shirt, Winning Souls for Christ. And he takes that camera and zeroes in on it. I couldn't let that go. So now I get on. And I'm like, and I do this. I'm scratching my head. So let me see here. The black guy there, hat on sideways, cursing. And then you put him back on there, and he has a, you know, Winning Souls for Christ shirt. I'm like, I don't quite understand that. And that's all I said. And I turned it off. He responds back with, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. That was his response. So it just made me realize, you know, I could have gotten back on. But why? Well, I leave it at that. And I'm not saying that, you know, the kid's a rotten kid. I'm just simply saying, you know, there comes a time when you just have to just say, you know, I'm just going to leave it alone. I said my piece. I'm going to leave it alone. But even, you know, remember the desire to speak out about the Lord and to speak out against error, that's coming from the Holy Spirit. And beloved, we're told, quench not the Holy Spirit. You know what that means to me? It doesn't just mean about sin, which I'll talk about in a minute. Let me see if I have time. But it's more about... I lost my train of thought now. Help me.
Desire truth.
Yeah, you have it.
Not from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sometimes I'll get these things. But anyway, let me go back to glorification. Any glorification given to man means it's taken away from the Son of God. So any kind of good or decent or wholesome thing that man does, and they're glorified, you're taking glory away from what's due from the Son of God. And that's a very, very important truth to realize. It says here that in John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. The Lord Jesus Christ was called Rabbi by His disciples, and it was a title of servitude and respect. It was a title that was given for a teacher by their students. And He was the only one ever called Rabbi in the Bible. And when He leaves, He promises His disciples that He's going to send another teacher, a new one, one that was ordained by God the Father. And He was going to be a comforter also. And this new teacher was not going to be the latest pope in Rome. He was not going to be even ordained by men. He was not even going to be of this world. It was going to be God the Holy Spirit. And when God the Holy Spirit is here on the earth, He is here as all God and all Spirit. He's the God Spirit, and it's given to every single one of us to guide us, to instruct us, to motivate us, to care for us, to love us. And His Comforter is still with us today. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this of Him. He says, He will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit's role is to guide you into all truth. We're taught today by the Holy Spirit, and if you truly believe it, it's because the Holy Spirit's taught you that. There's many very clear passages on the work of God the Spirit as a comforter, as a teacher, as a discerner. One of them being found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. I was saying that sometimes I'll get on Google or something, and I'll just Google something and see what people are saying about it. Well, one thing I have noticed, and over the years, but also in this study as I was getting ready, I looked at a few things. How many people are bringing any sort of study or any kind of message or anything on the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit, as you know, is talked mostly about the signs of the Spirit. Laying on of hands, the healing, the falling down, all these things are the Spirit moving. Again, ask yourself, does that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? If it doesn't, then we know it's not of Him. And the Scriptures say that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Again, I've got to reiterate it because I can't overexpress it, that any truth that you know today, any little fragment of truth that you know is because the Holy Spirit has given that to you. And yet, how many times do we just thank Him for that? We know He lives within us, but a lot of times we either don't know or we forget what His role is. He was sent to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sent to guide us into all truth, to be our comforter, to be our protector. And remember this too, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in the synagogues, He spoke openly. You know what He would do? In His sermons, He wouldn't get up and teach quaint little anecdotes and use stories to connect other stories. He wouldn't even get up and preach. What did Jesus Christ do? He read from the Scriptures, folded it, put it down, and walked away. Because He was letting the Word of God speak for itself. I know Ken mentioned something, and it's been proven that the King James Bible is the lowest reading level of any of the Bibles. It's written on a fifth grade level. I know there's some archaic words and whatnot, but they're basing that upon the syllables and the words and the definitions that people know and the fluidity of it and everything. They say it's written on a fifth grade level. NIV, they say, is between 8th and 9th grade level, but yet it's supposedly easier. So I'm saying that if you're going to be led into any truth at all, it needs to be through the Word of God. You know that. I know that. But any truth that you know, any truth that you hold dear, especially regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you thank the Holy Spirit of God? Because that's Him working in you. A lot of us just think He just hangs out in us until the day of redemption. And then He leaves us. But you're going to be seeing your best friend leave you on that day. It's not going to be a sad moment. Because now you know as you are known now. So that will be a glorious time. And we share things with one another. We comfort one another. But our greatest comforter is the Holy Spirit. Because He is sincere. He's sincere when He deals with us. And that's what makes it so beautiful. He's genuine. 100% genuine. And there's not anybody in here that's 100%. There's nobody in here that's probably 50% genuine. I know I'm probably about 10% genuine. But there's only one that's 100% genuine. I remember as a director, you know, you get all these stories from people because there was at one point in time I had quite a few people working under me, and it was just like every day someone has some sort of personal problem. And I remember one lady that worked for me, she had an 8-year-old daughter that died of cancer. And this is before my cancer or anything. And, you know, I found myself trying to comfort her, but, you know, having never been there or gone through that, all I could relate to is I have a child. So I just would say some comforting things, and I mean, I meant them, but I tried to make sure that she knew I meant them. And my point is this, is that it's not 100% genuine, because there wasn't that love that was there, that agape love. It was an earthly desire to try to make her feel better. Probably didn't work. But that agape love is what the Holy Spirit has for us. And when He comforts us, it's because He's 100% genuine. And there's been all of us that have needed comfort. He comforted me for 6.5 weeks. And I didn't even know it. And I'm not talking about just sparing my life. I'm talking about I was relatively pain-free. I was out of it, but I was relatively pain-free. I don't remember waking up in the middle of the night screaming out in pain or terrors or anything like that. I look back now, and I think more than anything, and I've said this, I'm going to keep saying it, probably you're going to get stuck hearing it every time I talk, is that you don't have to ask for it. Because the Holy Spirit knows what you need. Think of yourself as you were growing up, or as your kids are growing up. There were things that you wanted and things that you needed. Your parents always got you what you needed. Because they knew. Now, you could have thought, you could get, as a kid, you get your wants and needs confused and think your parent just being stingy or mean because they're not getting you that. But you knew, as a parent, you knew what your child needed and you supplied that need. Now, doesn't that sound like Scripture? But I will supply all your need. All your need. Not all your want. Not all your wants. All your need. And we all, I think, here would agree that our only need is Christ. But without the Holy Spirit of God, you've got just as much as those people on TV have without the Spirit of God living in you. And you know what? That's the only thing that makes you any different from your unregenerate neighbor. Do you know that? Do you believe that? I hope you do. That the Spirit of God living in you is the only thing, the only difference. You're still you. You're still capable of sin and the viciousness of evil. Because as soon as you think you're not, you're going to find yourself going down in a torrential downpour. So, it's a wonderful thing to know that Holy Spirit is the only thing that divides you from anyone else. But He changes your life. He does it a little bit at a time. One little truth here, one little truth there, and then you'll bump into some error and you'll bounce off of it like a wall because you're going to want to go to that truth. And that's the Holy Spirit doing that. Remember that. Don't forget that. It's so important to realize. God the Holy Spirit assists us in our infirmities and in our prayers. You know, none of us like to have infirmities. You know, sometimes that brings out the worst in us. Sometimes it doesn't. We don't like them. I don't like them. You don't like them. But they're all done for a reason. God has a standard to live up to. There'll be a day that's going to come. Beloved, it could come in 30 seconds or 30 years or 300 years. But there's going to come a time when we're not going to have infirmities anymore. And what you're going to have is eternal glory. Think about that. When He appears, we will appear with Him. Now, your disciples and those people, your Acts guys, they're still going to be waiting. They're all waiting for that second coming. We're waiting for nothing other than His appearing, which is the next time He's going to appear. But you know what? We know that and we understand that and we grasp that because of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we'll just think, okay, well, that makes sense. We won't even realize the Holy Spirit is teaching us. And we don't realize it because we don't ever thank Him. He's not doing it for thanks. But we're so feeble. We're so inadequate. That's all we have to offer is our thanks. But you know how you thank Him? You thank Him by not quenching that Spirit. That's how you thank Him. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't start thinking that all this garbage out here has anything to do with Jesus Christ. Don't try to take it and sift through it and see if you can find one little nugget, because I'm going to tell you, if there's 1 ounce of it rotted, the whole thing is rotted. Mom, we should know that. If it doesn't glorify Jesus Christ, it's not of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit loves us. He loves us. He loves us so much that He's going to teach you everything that you're capable of knowing about Jesus Christ. You don't know what you want to know about Him, well, then check yourself at the door. Check your prayer life. Do you ever just meditate for the joy of meditating? Or is it one of those things that you just now feel you have to do? Because if it's something that you have to do, just don't waste your time. Don't waste the Holy Spirit's time. And brethren, I'm standing up here by no means a paragon of virtue. Absolutely not. I shudder to think how many times I've quenched the Spirit. But I'm telling you, realize from your mistakes. Don't make them again. And the number one thing is allowing error into what you believe. And whether you're 5 or 100 years old, it doesn't matter, because the only thing you've got to believe is the gospel. But you can't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Show me where it talks about the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, identification with Christ. And I don't understand any of that to where I can sensibly explain it to a 5-year-old or even to you, because I can't even understand it myself. But again, I said it before, we're never asked to understand. We're asked to believe. We're actually asked to believe something that is not understandable. And even that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's His gifts today. His gifts aren't signs and wonders and tongues and things like that. If you think they are and you think that that's glorifying to Christ, then that's up to you. But if you don't, run from it. Because you're going to get your soul quenched. Yes, sin does that as well. Paul said this. We're talking now about grieving the Holy Spirit. I only have a few minutes, but I do want to talk about that. Because it says in Ephesians 4:29-30, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, some people have rougher exteriors than others. And if they know someone's angry with them, or someone doesn't like something they say, they tend really not to care. Because he's got a good rough exterior. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, how many of you, show of hands, think that Dusty stayed up late at night worrying because he had just offended a pastor and a few of their, you know, members? You know, I just use him as an example because we all know him. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some of us have that exterior. Some of us don't. Other people are truly bothered if they saddened or upset somebody. Or if they've done something to anger someone. But here the scriptures don't tell us to not anger the Holy Spirit. It doesn't even say don't offend the Holy Spirit, but don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So here you have your dearest and best friend, the only friend you're ever going to have in this life. And he gives us so much. He glorifies Jesus Christ as his first and primary role. And yet we're told here not to grieve him. You know what the opposite of that means? It means that it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. And that definition of grieve is a sad definition. I went to the Webster's 1828 and looked up what it says about grieving. And it says this, it says to give pain of mind to afflict, to wound the feelings, or to inflict pain upon. And we're being not asked, we're being told here in the scriptures not to do that to the Holy Spirit. And grieving is a mixture of anger and love. And even the believer with the roughest exteriors will still find their heart to be full of sorrow. They know they've grieved someone because love is involved in that. And we treat our neighbors with more compassion and respect often than we do the very Holy Spirit of God. And if it was not possible to grieve, you know, if you grieve your neighbor, you'll rush over there to probably want to ask forgiveness or to talk to them about it if you know that you really did do so. But here the Holy Spirit will grieve him constantly and just go on and live our life. Every time we're given that godly thought or that desire, read your scriptures, think about the Word, think about the Lord, and you just blow it off and you'd rather pick up the paper, you know, you're grieving the Holy Spirit because you're hurting and diminishing his role, which is to glorify Jesus Christ. You know, and think of yourself as a parent. When your child sins, when they were growing up, your child sins. As a parent, you're really, if it gets down to it, you're not angry at the child. You're angry at the sin that the child is performing. You're angry at that sin. And it's the exact same way with God the Holy Spirit, with us, when we sin. He's angry at the sin. He doesn't get angry with you. He's not like us. He doesn't have that emotion. He loves you. But he gets angry at that sin. And as a beautiful dove, he can't nest comfortably with that sin there. He's got to fly away. And I'm not implying that the Holy Spirit leaves you. I'm saying everybody here, if you're honest, you've had moments of coldness. You've probably even had times where you've gone days without reading the Scripture. Prayers that last 10 seconds, 15, 20 seconds long, and then you're up and out of there. We've all had that in our life. We've all had that coldness. But you know what we've not done is we've not just allowed it to lay there and to fester, because that will grieve the Holy Spirit and continue to do so. And it'll harden your soul. And it'll harden your heart. And just knowing that you're grieving the Holy Spirit ought to be enough. But sin is as easy as it is wicked for the believer. We sin as easily as we are wicked. And God the Spirit can't bear to grieve even the slightest sin in our life. Our number one sin, I know unbelief is a horrible sin, but how can you experience in your life, put this into practice? Our number one sin is evil thoughts. Because there's nothing that you do, nothing that you say without it originating in your mind. Nothing. Now, Tanya will disagree with that because she says I say some really stupid things without thinking. But in all honesty, they did enter my mind first. And we get evil thoughts in our mind. And when we let them fester and sit there, they will harbor illness and resent. And remember what Dusty always said, you know, but you can't keep them out. They're going to be there and just pounding on your door, but you don't have to invite it in for tea and cookies. And that's a very good example. He was great at doing things like that. But that's a good example. It's going to be there pounding at your door. But remember, do I want to grieve the only one that's ever loved me? Because he's the one that brought me to Christ. He's the one that glorifies Christ. He's the one that's working in me every second of every day. He doesn't take 1 second off, beloved. And think of how he doesn't take 1 second off of any believer. Any believer. And He lives in you. If you're a believer in the death, the burial, the resurrection, and you can see that that death was yours. You were owed that death. Him on the cross, that was representative of you because you should have been up there paying for your sins. Not Him. But through identification and substitution, our God the Father has ordained it, has declared it, that through believing in Him, through believing that death was representative of you. You didn't have to be there 2,000 years ago. It's simple faith that tells us that. But you know where we get that faith? Yeah, we get it from the Word of God. But it's the Holy Spirit. Because these are just words on a page. All this is just a book. But it has within it the Holy Spirit of God. And when that Holy Spirit of God takes these words and applies them to your life, this changes your life. Everything about your life. It becomes a miracle. And it's a beautiful thing to have and to avail ourselves of. He loves you. And we ought not ever cause God the Spirit to mourn. Because anger begets anger. Grief begets pity. And God the Holy Spirit has pity upon our soul every moment of every day. We've wrestled and fought against Him our entire life. We continue to do so and we ought not. If our heart goes after covetousness, if it goes after impure thoughts, if it goes after retaliation, if it goes after ungodliness, vengeance, lust, adulteration, any of these, and especially corrupt communication, you have to let none of it proceed out of your mouth. You can't do anything about it getting into your mind, but you can do something about getting into your mouth and into your heart and into your actions and into your lives. And you know why? Because we have the weapon. We have the sword of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit uses that in us to guide us and to bring us into all truth. And brethren, I think that the greatest truth that you can learn about the Scriptures is you have to be patient. All of us, myself included, I want to be able to read something and understand it right away. I want to be able to pray for something one time and have me delivered from it or receive it or something. Or maybe I'll wait a day or two. But you know what? He's always going to answer a prayer. Yes, no, or wait. It's usually wait. And some of us have to be prepared, brethren, to wait our entire life. I have absolutely 0.0% understanding why He spared my life. Why He did. Because for all intents and purposes, I was dead. You know, every doctor, even every hospital in the state of Florida, you know, can't help him. He's going to die. That's all it is to it. Well, I didn't. I don't know why. But I was thinking not that long ago, you know, wow, I'm thinking, why am I still here? You know, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's to make sure that my kids, you know, get their education and get out on their own. And I'm doing all these things and thinking, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And I'm not saying I heard Him say something. But it's like instantly my thought went to, you know, I may never live to see why He did it. It may be something that I said that a grandchild of mine might hear and actually start. So my point with that is, I know for myself, And you might be the same way. You're always busy looking, what does the Lord want from my life? What does He want me to do? All I am is this. All I am is that. I'm just a housewife. I'm just retired. I'm just in school. We all do that. You know? Why don't you let Him, leave it up to Him? Because He may never show you. All He asks you to do is not to grieve Him. And if you do that, then that's a fine place to start. Why would we want to grieve the one, the only one that shines glory upon the Lord Jesus Christ? We have to keep our hearts and our minds clean. Keep them as clean and welcome a place for the Holy Spirit. And that we grieve Him not. And we remember His role in our lives as one of the great, the triune Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank You for this time that we've had together. Thank You so much we can come around and share Your Word and especially be with those of like-minded faith. So hard to find other people that believe in Your Word, that have respect for Your Son, to have a love for the things of the Lord. So we thank you that we can be together and reunite in love and in absolute true fellowship. We pray for those of us that are traveling, that you'll give us traveling mercies home, and that when we get home, we'll realize that you brought us there safely. I pray that we'll each look for the Holy Spirit working in our life, that any thought, any image, any kind of a goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ that we see in our life, that we thank the Holy Spirit first and foremost, because you've given him to us, you've sealed him in us, and he's ours until the day of redemption, and we thank you for that, and we pray that we'll learn to appreciate him more and more each day. But more than anything, Father, what we thank you for is your Son, the Son who loved us enough to give himself for us, to perish for us on Calvary, and it's in his holy and precious and matchless name we pray. Amen.